Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Message Program. This is Dan, along with my beautiful wife and lover of God's Word, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey. Erev Tov, and blessings to you all as we covet His presence.
Almighty Father, we beseech Thee and forever adore You. May Your light ignite within us to expose any areas needing Your disinfectant. We shake off any clinging dirt from the world's transgressions and humbly bow down and exalt Your holy name and all Your names. We need You, O Lord, and woe to those who don't think they do. We pray for the salvation of our loved ones and a quick recovery for those sick amongst us. Bless Your people. Abba Father, we pray. In the name of Your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. You know, I think from now on we should begin each week after prayer with the same good news announcement.
Well, that's easy. Jesus is coming soon for His bride.
Yes, because that's what all this turmoil is about. You know, Jesus is true to His words. He said He'd give us signs, or better put, clues.
And we surely see more and more every day.
Yeah, the cancel culture, they are called. They're even banning the name Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
And Dr. Seuss books. Now even CPAC last weekend, which did give conservatives a lot of happy hope. And by the way, President Trump was really very good.
But that's in the future.
I know. And we are watching what is happening right now, and it's not pretty. In fact, it's shocking. And even if conservatives should do well in 22, the damage done by then will be enormous.
The many regulations for companies alone is devastating.
Especially meant to hurt small business.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing is the radical socialist agenda taking off. And those two bills recently passed in the House will, number one, really increase our debt, with only 9% is allocated for COVID relief.
The rest, you know, is to pay back their campaign donors.
Yes, and also Raytheon Technologies donated millions and is one of the biggest leaders in defense military contracting in the world. So does this add a little more incentive to why we bombed Syria? But of course, we needed a reason. So just maybe the hit on our embassy was a false flag?
We report, you decide.
But that is their MO, mm-hmm. and they use it a lot. Anyhow, also this so-called relief bill and bailout is just a bailout for the blue lockdown states, which also bankrupted many businesses. And you know what? Most will not recover.
And money for Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yeah. And to Harvard and other elite universities who get plenty of endowments. And then there's money for Pelosi's tunnel, Schumer's bridge, and the arts.
Plus, you know, even the illegals will get a check.
Besides much more, and we don't even have time to talk about the crisis at our southern border.
But they need those Democratic votes.
Yeah, so amnesty is on the way for sure.
Well, you know, the ultimate goal is to bankrupt America.
And we'll join agreeably into the new world order of socialism / communism. China has its eye on America to fail. And Jeremiah 30, verse 11, it kind of confirms it.
So, will the COVID bill pass?
Probably, because of budget reconciliation, which actually can only be used 3 times a year, but needs only a simple majority, or 50 votes plus the vice president, to pass it. Now, the question is, will any Democrat, you know, like perhaps Manchin, go against his party and vote no?
We'll soon see. But the other one, the Equality Act, is even worse.
You think? This act is very bad and specifically meant to come against God's word.
Well, you know, that's exactly what's going on.
Ephesians 6 at its best. No discrimination whatsoever against any sodomite, what they term using the acronym LGBTQ movement. Perhaps won't even be allowed to, actually parents will probably not be allowed to stop their 16-year-old daughter from taking testosterone if she wants to.
Well, you know, it's encouraged in public schools to choose, to now choose your gender.
And it starts very young. And once again, males can use the girls' restroom and join a girls' sports team, which they already are. And if this bill is passed in the Senate, Christian persecution will be magnified.
I hope this isn't a simple majority vote, too.
No, it's a filibuster, so 3/5 of the Senate, or 60 votes, is needed. So right now it's probably unlikely that it's going to pass, but it's just a matter of time, you know, after a tweak here and a tweak there. Already right now, a sodomite can sue us, which, even if you do win the case, they know it will cost you tons of money.
Which many don't have.
Therefore, be sure you spend a lot of time in His Word, so your armor is on, and pray for divine protection.
Amen. I know you have some news on Israel.
Oh, yes. An Israeli cargo ship was fired upon last week, leaving many holes by Iranian rockets en route from Saudi Arabia to Singapore.
There were no casualties.
Right. But Israel did retaliate, hitting sites near Damascus. And so did we last Thursday against Iran's proxy army in Syria, because on January 27th, they supposedly hit our embassy in Iraq, killing a U.S. civilian contractor. And then again yesterday, Israel fired missiles to the southern outskirts of Damascus from the Golan, but they were taken down by Syria's air defenses.
Why again?
Well, because Israel is fully aware that Iran's Quds Force and their other proxy militias have established a strong presence in a string of underground bases in that region.
And Israel will continue, I'm sure.
Yes, perhaps till they make Damascus a heap of ruins?
Well, we know some force will, according to Isaiah 17:1.
And boy, if we see that, we are out of here quick, because verse 4 reads, "In that day." And we know the bride is not here for the first 7 years of "in that day" that lasts 1,000 years.
Amen.
And it seems that Israel, too, is following the foreshadows of the beast's system, in that some news reports state that their citizens will not be allowed to go to most places without first taking the vaccine.
And eventually will most likely be here as well.
Gosh. So much, so fast. You know those Braxton Hicks contractions that I talk about? Well, they're getting closer to the actual labor pains. Therefore, we are all wondering, how long, O Lord, before we hear the sound of that last trumpet signaling the rapture of 1 Corinthians 15:52?
Until then.
Yes, until then.
We really welcome your end-time questions to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate these last days' insights, please tuck in a love offering to help with our expenses, and God will surely bless you for it. As well, you'll receive our informative teaching newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which contains a boatload of teaching with all the past radio and instructional newsletters. archived for your added learning. So, what are we teaching on tonight?
Well, the importance of using God's two calendars and how it benefits us, especially in these last days, to know our basic Hebraic roots. Now, I'm not talking about the legalistic side, so please don't put us in that group, because Jesus already fulfilled all of that. Rather, this is about understanding the scriptures more correctly.
And we really need that.
Actually, eschatology can never be hermetically, did I say that right? Hermeneutically correct without at least some basic knowledge of the Jewish customs and idiomatic phrases of their day.
Okay. God has two Hebrew calendars.
Yes. Same months, but in a different order. Let's start in the beginning. For up until Moses at the Exodus from Egypt, the Hebrews went by their original civil calendar, beginning with the month of Ethanim. We see that in 1 Kings 8, verse 2. And it's from the root word Ethan, and that means strong.
But it was later changed to Tishrei.
Yes, actually a Babylonian name. So we think the sages changed it during their exile. And interestingly enough, perhaps that's because the Hebrew words for in the beginning is Reshit. And remember, they read from right to left, which is therefore pronounced Tishrei. And of course, there are 11 more months.
And you can find the Hebrew months all listed on our webpage.
It's also a good idea to print it out and place it in your Bible. You know, so it's handy, because most often in Scripture, the months are just referred to as either the second or the fifth or the sixth. Well, you get my drift. So if you look to see what actual month it is, you can know which season or which feast they might be celebrating.
So it is important.
It is. And that really helped me often to connect some major points of Scripture, enhancing my studies.
And you do study a lot.
Well, it's my passion in life, alongside you, of course.
How sweet. Okay, moving on. So Tishrei is the first month.
Yes, when Adam was created in our fall season.
Which is why Rosh Hashanah, their new year, is celebrated every fall.
Yes. Now, this next fact is very important to note.
It really is.
When reading the beginning of the Old Testament and you come upon any month, it will be from their original civil calendar that begins with Tishrei until Exodus 12, because they also have a religious calendar that I like to call their New Life calendar, because from Exodus 12, their first Passover in Egypt, they would soon be escaping their slavery. So God told them through Moses that this month called Nisan would always be special as they were about to enter their freedom from slavery. Do you thankfully recognize your day of spiritual freedom from slavery to sin?
I do, because those who are born again have had two births.
Amen. Anyhow, let's read that passage in Exodus 12, verses 1 and 2.
Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you."
So all the names are the same for each month, but now Nisan, the seventh month on the civil calendar, and those following are moved to the top. So the first month is now Nisan, still in the springtime, on what they call their religious or biblical calendar.
Again, these Hebrew names are listed for both calendars on our webpage.
And we will also send it to you upon request with a self-addressed stamped envelope.
So explain why we all need to know this.
Okay. Well, if you are a true disciple, then you are an emphatic studier of God's Word. So when you come across a month before Exodus 12, you look at the civil calendar to know the season. But if it's Exodus 12 through Revelation, you use the religious or the second calendar.
All of God's feasts are figured from the religious calendar.
Which is why this is important to know. So turn to Genesis 8 for an example of this importance. And while you are doing that, here's a quick tidbit. Each Hebrew month lasts 30 days, which equals 360 days a year, which is why it's called the lunar calendar.
For each month begins on a new moon.
Mm-hmm. So in order to keep the seasons in their proper order, with the sun and our modern Gregorian calendar of 365 days, they add an extra month of Adar seven times in a 19-year period.
Which they call V Adar.
And V simply means and. Okay, honey, please read Genesis 8, verse 4.
Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat.
Okay, this scripture is before Exodus 12. Therefore, we look at the civil or original calendar and count to the seventh month, and it is
Nisan.
Mm-hmm. Most Christians miss that, but because we understand some basic Hebraic roots, we know that Christ rose from the dead on Nisan 17.
So, it's also the anniversary date of Noah's Ark coming to rest.
Yes, and last week we saw how wicked Haman was hung on Nisan 17. And also in Chronicles 29, we see that King Hezekiah, now finally a godly king in Israel, after them having many years of evil ones, reestablished sacrifices with his first one on the 17th of the first month. Since Chronicles comes after Exodus, we can easily figure this out to be
Nisan 17.
See how knowing this helps to, well, kind of like understand the details of God's nature? And this is just a little knowledge of your spiritual roots. On all of these same four dates of Nisan 17, we see how a new life is given to his people.
Well, you know, God is a date setter.
And he loves his anniversaries.
And they're big clues to us.
Yeah. Which is why we believe he will take us home for a new life on the anniversary of the creation of man at the end of the sixth day of 1,000 years each. And of course, God only knows when that real date is, but that's due to many miscalculations in the early days of time as far as what year it is. I have come to believe as a result in scripture digging that every event, including our own lives, has already been determined and exactly fixed.
And we have scripture to back that up.
Well, yes, we do. In fact, please read Psalm 102, verse 13.
You, O Lord, will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come.
And scripture records how even Satan tells God that he knows that our days are numbered. Please read Job 14, verse 5.
Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass.
Oh, and I love this next one, Galatians 4, verse 4.
When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law.
And just as a side note here, he uses when the fullness of time had come. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was born on the first day of Tabernacles, where the moon is always at its fullness, in the fullness of time? I love it. And in the same month as when Adam was created. And the fall feast will be our departure. Tishrei is a big deal.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is also important to recognize. Jesus died for our sins during the spring feasts of Passover in the first month on the religious calendar. And he will call us up also on the first month, but on the civil calendar, which helps us to explain Joel 2:23. Remember, there are two major rains in Israel, the early one in the spring and the later rain in the fall. And it really was their major blessing. They needed rain. We can see the rain then as a type of Jesus who comes down from heaven as the rain. And he comes twice. So Joel 2:23 makes more sense knowing this. In fact, I'm going to read it for you. It says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month." Wow. In the first month of both calendars, Nisan and Tishrei. And as well, he will return in the month of Tishrei, visibly at the end of the tribulation. And from my studies, I believe that'll be on a Yom Kippur, which just happens to be the 10th of Tishrei. So you see, both first months on both calendars are extremely noteworthy. And we enter into the new kingdom on Tishrei 15, also Jesus' earthly birthday. Oh my, what an anniversary celebration that will be at our reception dinner. So, today we are nearing Nisan, which begins March 14th on our Gregorian calendar, by the way, named after Pope Gregory. So, 14 days later begins the season of Passover, the spring feasts, and the anniversary of Christ's resurrection, which we will celebrate this year on April 4th, which happens to be the last day of Passover. But scripturally, in Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 8, it's actually an 8-day feast of unleavened bread to include Passover. But we'll be addressing all that again over the next, I'd say maybe 4, possibly even 5 weeks. Because to really connect the dots of eschatology, you must have a good understanding of his feasts. By the way, the word feast means appointment, and he really did make appointments with man. It's truly remarkable. But then again, he is a date setter, and he wants to share this knowledge with us. But only if you want it. Although he is holding back on exactly what year. But the signs or clues, as I like to say, are here, showing we are very close. And know this, God made 7 appointments with all his righteous ones, and he kept through his son the first 4. Don't you think he might just keep the last 3? And actually, if you count the Sabbath, which he also fulfilled, which is why his Sabbath rests in us. He lives in us. He is our Sabbath. It's actually then 8 appointments, and his number is 8, never ending, and for eternity. Remember, Hebrews 4:3 says, "We who have believed do enter that rest." Legalism is over because he is our Sabbath. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. If you don't know the Lord, now's the time, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.